So I recently read an article about octopuses, and for some reason it reminded me of a journal entry from a while back. At that time of said journal entry, let's say I was in a weird state of mind, believing that my dog was sending me telepathic messages, which I in turn believed I was decoding with remarkable precision, right? Whether there was truth to this telepathic exchange remains thought-provoking. It probably wasn't true. It probably wasn't. It was an odd experience, obviously. However, the peculiar perception I experienced in that state was the sensation of seeing my dog's emotions or feelings being cast in the vast uncharted expanses of the cosmos. I was essentially seeing my dog be sent into the void of space, and the messages from my dog created this like infinite ripple effect in the cosmos, originating from my insignificant moments in time, me relaxing on my couch in my basement with my dog at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. Nice. I mentioned all this because it's caused me to think about time and our perception of it in relation to how we view the world, how we formulate our beliefs, and like, you know, existence. So time. And this thinking about time has led me to thinking about octopuses, because this is how my brain works, I guess. So let's begin with octopuses. This topic often leads me to think about the film Arrival, because every time I consider octopuses, I'm reminded of how thought-provoking that movie is. Additionally, the aliens in Arrival resemble octopuses, which I assume is intentional, though I haven't researched it. Regardless of the intention, it's the first thing that comes to mind when I see heptapods. You should also watch the documentary My Octopus Teacher. It's about a dude who becomes friends with an octopus, and you, the viewer, also become friends with an octopus and learn from the octopus, and you should watch it because it's awesome. Also, this entire essay is about how octopuses have pushed me to reevaluate my understanding of time. In a way, it's a personal version of the documentary My Octopus Teacher. Okay, to talk about octopi. And a little side note, yes, I googled if it's proper to say octopuses or octopi, and it turns out both are acceptable. I should have remembered this, but sometimes things I've learned in the past simply, you know, fall out of my brain. Time, dude. Yeah, I learn the most random things when I go down these rabbit holes. It's awesome, but end of side note. To discuss octopi in this context, I'd like to bring up the concept of embodied cognition, which suggests that our cognitive processes are deeply intertwined with the body's interactions with the world. What does this mean, though? Our physical movements and orientation are not just, you know, byproducts of our perception of time. They are fundamental to its foundation. An octopus, an invertebrate with movement as fluid as the water it lives in, offers a compelling subject for examining the concept of embodied time perception. Unlike humans, whose upright posture and forward movement may contribute to a linear and progressive sense of time, an octopus interacts with its environment in a kind of fundamentally different manner. For starters, octopuses have a decentralized nervous system with a significant number of neurons located in their arms or tentacles. This arrangement is quite distinctive. It likely results in varied processing speeds and the integration of sensory information, which could influence their perception of time. They also exhibit independent limb control. The semi-autonomous nature of an octopus's arm, capable of performing complex tasks without the brain's direct command, this implies that their perception in response to stimuli might be localized and immediate. This could suggest that their experience of time is more fragmented or distributed than the like centralized experience that humans have. Bringing this back to humans and Arrival, the octopus with its decentralized nervous system and semi-autonomous limbs provides a fascinating parallel to the heptapods from Arrival. In terms of perceiving time, just as the octopus's tentacles operate with a degree of independence processing and reacting to environmental stimuli in a localized kind of immediate fashion, the heptapods display a consciousness that transcends linear time. So their use of complex circular logograms reflects a holistic view of time where events are not perceived sequentially but as a simultaneous entirety. So this decentralized and nonlinear method of interpreting the world stands in contrast to the human experience of time, which is predominantly shaped by our kind of centralized nervous system and the kind of sequential nature of our cognition. Humans generally view time as a linear progression, a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end, mirroring the way we navigate our environment, moving, you know, forward on two legs with definitive trajectory. The octopus, however, glides effortlessly in any direction, its tentacles operating with a level of of independence that implies a more kind of immediate and potentially non-sequential engagement with its environment. In Arrival, the heptapods challenge the human characters to transcend their inherent conception of time's progression. In a similar vein, contemplating the octopus's perception encourages us to reevaluate our own experiences, you know, and how we are constrained by time. If the octopus's sense of time is indeed more fragmented or dispersed, it might more closely resemble the heptapod's experience than our own. With each like tentacle capable of independent action could represent a distinct temporal event, with the octopus's central brain synthesizing these events into a coherent yet non-linear experience. The communication system of the heptapods, which Louise Banks comes to understand, enables her to perceive time as they do, as a continuous entirety rather than a series of consecutive events. This might be comparable to how an octopus processes sensory input from its tentacles, concurrently merging inputs into a collective perception that does not favor one moment over another. In both scenarios, the case of Louise with her newly acquired understanding of the heptapod language and the octopus with its decentralized nervous system, there is a central entity, you know, tasked with synthesizing diverse pieces of information in a kind of unified whole. This points to a kind of concept of consciousness that is expansive and non-hierarchical, where the perception of time is not confined to a singular forward-moving trajectory, but is instead a comprehensive awareness of various potentialities and outcomes. So octopuses likely perceive time in a fragmented manner, and the heptapods experience time similarly, albeit with the added unique ability to also foresee potential futures. A major distinction, indeed, but we're also talking about a work of fiction, so stick with me, I guess. What I'm trying to highlight is the notion that time is not an objective reality, but rather a construct experienced and shaped by the physical, social, and cultural context in which it's encountered, including language. So the part about it being shaped by the physical will become important later. But in Arrival, Louise begins to perceive time differently because she has been immersed in a radically different social and cultural environment.
I don't understand. What is your purpose here?
It's a fascinating concept to consider. Our human experience of time is not just a mental abstraction, but also an embodied one. Our, you know, upright stance and bipedal movement contribute to a forward-looking perspective, both literally and metaphorically. So the octopus's experience might be less bound by linear progression and more akin to a web of fragmented present moments in some sense, with each limb potentially experiencing and responding to stimuli in its own temporal context. The heptapod's language, which is non-sequential and non-linear, mirrors a view of time that is all-encompassing and simultaneous. Their mode of communication captures concepts or events within a single glyph, indicating a cognitive process that perceives time not as linear or not as a linear sequence to be followed, but as a whole to be observed in its entirety. Taking this conversation about time deeper requires us to kind of delve into assembly theory. Now, assembly theory serves as an intellectual framework that merges principles from physics with Darwinian evolution. It suggests that complexity as we observe in nature and in human engineered systems isn't a product of randomness. It's instead the result of directional and cumulative process, a memory embedded within the fabric of various forms of life. In this context, memory isn't just a metaphor, it's a tangible property, a metric of the complex sequence of events and interactions that have shaped an entity's present condition. This then implies a more physical interpretation of time, viewing it as an intrinsic component of the universe and its physical laws, rather, you know, than as a mere backdrop or illusion. Thus, memory and time are seen as quantifiable attributes, you know, gauges for the intricate series of events and interactions leading to the current state of an object. Assembly theory introduces an assembly index to quantify the complexity of the object's history. This index doesn't merely document existence, it narrates the evolutionary and developmental paths that have been navigated. Here's something that helped me visualize this, though. Imagine a large box of Lego bricks. Each time you construct something, regardless of how random or peculiar it may seem, there are specific steps and pressures at play leading to the final creation. Each Lego brick contributes to the index or narrative of the construction process, and this is significant. It's as if they are suggesting that everything has a history, detailing its formation, and this history is crucial. It informs us of the simplicity or complexity of an object, serving as a record of all the steps involved in its creation. For instance, a biological human is more complex than a life-sized human figure made of Lego bricks. So the biological human's story is longer and involves more stages. You know, scientists can apply this concept when searching for life in outer space as well, as living organisms have unique and extensive histories about their origins. And consider the phrase once upon a time that we use to, you know, begin stories. These scientists propose that time is not just an interval we observe on clocks, but is actually embedded in everything's story. It's akin to suggesting that the time required to create something is an integral component of its complexity. Just as Lego bricks recount the story of whatever they assemble. Okay, but why does this matter to our previous part of the discussion? Well, time, baby. So the octopus, with its decentralized nervous system and remarkable problem-solving abilities, exemplifies a high assembly index, each tentacle capable of independent action, yet part of a cohesive whole, represents a complex evolutionary path. The distinct intelligence and movement of the octopus could be viewed as a physical expression of its evolutionary memory in some sense, the sum of, you know, adaptive responses accumulated over time. So assembly theory might offer a way to quantitatively grasp the intricacy of the octopus's evolutionary process, shedding light on how its perception of time, possibly nonlinear and multidimensional, has been molded by its biological history. In Arrival, the heptapod's language and perception of time challenge the human understanding of sequential events. They're circular logograms which convey meaning in a nonlinear fashion, could be the result of a kind of memory that encompasses all temporal dimensions simultaneously. This suggests that their evolutionary path has led to a form of intelligence where time, as a physical dimension, is fully manifest in their cognition and in their communication method. And as humans, we experience time as a linear sequence, right? Heavily influenced by cultural constructs, and the physical reality of our existence, our assembly index would reflect the evolutionary pressures that have favored a perception of time as a tool for survival, planning, and coordination. However, assembly theory could also suggest that our linear conception of time is not an absolute truth, but a particular outcome of our evolutionary journey. It implies that our temporal memory, the accumulation of cultural, biological, and cognitive developments, shapes how we perceive and interact with time. Assembly theory's proposition that time has a physical size and is a property of objects aligns with the idea that time is not merely a backdrop for, you know, action, but a fundamental element of reality. The octopus's distributed intelligence, the heptapod's holistic time perception, and human cultural metaphors for time all point to a universe where time is as tangible as space. This suggests that time, much like the complex structures it helps to shape, is an active participant in the cosmos with its own memory and evolutionary significance. Time becomes a physical dimension, right? I hope all this makes sense though, right? But connecting assembly theory to the discussion of octopuses, heptapods, and human time perception, we can assume that the complexity we observe, be it in an octopus arm, a heptapod's logogram, or a human's narrative, is a reflection of the intricate interplay between spatial and temporal dimensions. The memory encapsulated within the assembly index is not just a record of what has been, but a map of what could be, revealing the potential for diverse forms of intelligence and temporal perception. In this light, the octopus's possible nonlinear time perception, the heptapod's transcendent communication, and the human tendency to view time as a linear progression are all different expressions of how the fabric of time is woven into the very essence of beings. So I hope all this provides a new lens to view the complexity of existence itself, and also invites a reevaluation of the fundamental nature of time itself as a dimension that is both, you know, shaped by and shapes the evolutionary history of all complex systems. Now go make friends with an octopus, or maybe just go watch Arrival. Stay curious, though, and get out of my labyrinth.